Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. I hope the Lord encourages you as I welcome back Dr. John Swanson to the studio today. Last week, we shared with you about being a protective shepherd and speaking to the wolves out there as it relates to living out God's Word in our daily lives and in the end times. Briefly, John and I go way back, and his biographical information could take up the whole program, so I'm going to try to give this as much honor as possible, but kind of shorten it so we have plenty of time. So John and his lovely wife Nancy persevere in service to the global collegiate community while residing in the Great Northwest. And during these days prior to the return of Jesus Christ, John's conviction concerning the need for ministry to the college community is greater than ever. He continues to be amazed at the growing skepticism toward the most basic truths in Jesus Christ. This is a concern of mine too. His credentials are daunting. A BA in Christian Ministry from Pacific International College, Masters of Divinity in Collegiate Ministry from Western Seminary right here in Portland, Master of Theology in Eschatology from Western Seminary, and Doctor of Ministry in Leadership and Spiritual Formation from George Fox Evangelical Seminary. John incorporated Endurance Ministries in 2000 and is the field director. This ministry addresses current cultural affairs in light of the eschatological end times data in God's precious word. The ministry takes a thematic approach while at the same time offering chronological insight as explicitly outlined in the Bible. He has blessed many across the world and locally as an instructor in Bible colleges and seminaries, and that's where I first met him as a professor was at Oregon College of Ministry back in 2003. He has written a book called The Final Trumpet Rapture Gathering, An Introduction. This introduction represents one of the fastest growing end time positions today. That's what we're going to continue talking about. So, John, I have to stop or I will use up all the time talking about how great you are. But I know your message is wonderful. So welcome back to the program. You cannot tell any stories on me because I'm teacher's pet. And would you briefly summarize for those listening today where we left off last weekend so that we can pick up and go forward?
Okay, we emphasized the heartthrob of this ministry's focus. It is coming from the heart of the Savior, especially in the context of His protective shepherding. And it's His stuff, not ours. So we go to the Word of God for the explicit revelation, as opposed to adding our interpretive stuff to it. We then find, as we go to the Word of God, that there are themes within these end-time passages that are unfolding before our very eyes. And as a result, we see the world bringing these very anti-Christian messages. The spirit of Antichrist is here today, not only in neo-Gnosticism, not only in Islam, but across the board in many sectors. But we also see within our house, within the church, some deceptive teachings. So last week we touched upon the issues of a popular end time perspectives that are actually calling people to a state that Jesus Christ has counseled against, that of ill preparedness. Why? Well, in one example, this doesn't apply to us because it's been fulfilled in the early church. Another example is it's too controversial. It'll all pan out in the end, so we don't have to worry about it. That's, again, distorting the whole counsel of the Word of God. And another one, which I didn't raise, the attitude of, well, John, this is moot. It's not an issue because we're going to be out of here. We're going to be raptured prior to all this stuff.
Oh, pre-trib.
Pre-trib view. And I have asked scholars, give me one explicit passage that supports the pre-trib timing of the rapture. And they confess to me, I can't give you one. Now, these are experts in the field. They've written books as to the inference of the pre-trib rapture. So they're acknowledging that it's not explicitly stated in Scripture. Is it possible that there's a more biblical scenario in light of the full counsel of the Word of God? We say, yes, there is. But again, we don't want to get into these controversial debates. We want to get into the thematic Scripture passages, which everyone is agreeing we're seeing unfolding today. So, and the appeal is not what John Swanson has to offer. It's actually what the Word of God says. He is our shepherd. He is the master shepherd. And in that context, he cares very much so, by way of protecting his sheep, for us who he loved, so much so that he died for us, that whoever would believe in him, if you're a listening audience member and you don't have Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. He is faithful, he is good, and he is returning soon.
Amen to that. Boy, oh. Well, you know, I have to ask, is this your opinion, or is your message actually a thus saith the Lord appeal?
Oh, Leslie, I can't tell you how important that passage, that question is.
Mm-hmm.
Because it deals with the Holy Scriptures. That's our appeal. So we can't compromise and say, well, I think it's this. No, it's actually explicitly stated these things. So the 1 Corinthians 15 passage, for example, it says in this, in verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Well, we take these explicit passages. We go to Matthew 24, and we honor what the text says by way of the chronological unfolding of the days prior to, number one, his initial appearing, the sign of the Son of Man, Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 and 30. And then the actual taking up of the elect, the gathering of the elect. We honor these literal statements in the Word of God as opposed to our interpretive baggage. So here's where we make a distinction between, thus says the Lord, and, well, wait a minute. End times requires interpretive steps when we piece together the biblical passages. So we have to confess interpretive steps. If we don't, we're not being honest with whoever we're talking to. So we affirm the capital T's of Scripture, and then we also confess that we are taking interpretive steps to bring this whole piece together, the doctrine of end times. And so we confess that there are interpretations. As a result, we don't claim then in the proposal of, for example, the final trumpet rapture gathering holistic picture.
Mm-hmm.
We don't claim capital T truth because we confess we have made some interpretive decisions, as every end time position does. But we don't want to undermine the capital T truths of Scripture. So we put this on the website. You can see the chronology. You can see the themes addressed on these websites. But the way it's packaged in our frequently asked questions on the endmin.com site, where we have our frequently asked questions, there are links there to these charts. We say a proposal for your prayerful and exegetical consideration, understanding that we have moved from capital T truth, the last trumpet is when we will be changed, to an interpretive holistic picture that does acknowledge interpretive steps. So we don't want to undermine capital T truth, but at the same time we want to confess that this is an exercise of inductive Bible study, so we have made some decisions of interpretation.
Well, one of the things I valued when I, of course, have researched your websites, and of course I have been a follower of you since I was one of your students in 2003.
Those were good days.
Those were good days. Yes, they were. But I have followed the website. I followed your ministry to the collegiate colleges around the Northwest. And what I'm impressed with when I look at your websites is every page says, if you have comments, if you've studied this and you think it's differently, we want to know about it. Mm-hmm. We want to talk to you about it. And it's not because we're going to pound into you our belief.
Right.
It's, you know, if you have thoroughly studied the Word of God and you have come up with something that we may have missed, or something that we misinterpreted, we want to know about it.
Yes.
How open, transparent, and honest can that be? I'm impressed with that.
And we state that many times in the book and on the websites, acknowledging that because there are major interpretive steps and weaknesses to these major end time positions that are predominant in our Western and across the globe cultures, there is an appeal to go back to the Scriptures to see what they actually say concerning the end times and map it out.
Map it out.
Continue to study then. Go back to the Word of God. Discern where you're taking these interpretive steps. But let's do this together. It's not just my assignment and now I've come up with the answer. No, let's go to Scripture for the answer, capital T truth. But then as we honor the commission that God has given to brothers and sisters in Christ, prophetic ministry, for example, that's one of my calling. What does the Lord's Word say to this? And then put it out there because I'm bringing the message in a more tentative, but not a relative manner, but just because of the holistic picture that it brings, a proposal for your prayerful consideration.
So what's behind all this? You know, I know you personally, and I know what a gentle-hearted minister you are, but you're also manifesting some aspects of in-your-face stuff. And so what's really driving your heart in all this, and what's your motive in all of this?
It's interesting, in our postmodern day, those who have been gifted with the prophetic, thus says the Lord ministry, are marginalized today. They don't want to hear it. It's a very interesting day. So it's important that we follow in the footsteps of the Jeremiahs, in the footstep of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, where we endure. Where we listen to God's counsel and says, this is what I have for you to say. Be faithful to the proclamation of my truths. And even if they don't listen to you, Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3, chapters 2 and 3, persist in that. Well, that's my assignment. So there's a dogma tied to it. It's a positive dogma because, again, we're not heralding our position as capital T truth. It's the Word of God that we're calling people to. At the same time, we say we have pieced it together through decades of inductive Bible study. Consider it. Consider it. That's what's driving our heart. It's the protective aspect of the shepherd because of the deception. Because of the Matthew 7:15, wolves in our midst.
Oh, yes.
And so what we're calling to a people to is an aspect of preparedness in the context or in the realm of perspective. Call it perspectival preparedness, but all that informed by the Word of God. So, for example, we have a growing global antichrist spirit that says, there is but one God and one prophet. Well, from our perspective, if we're called to give an account on the essentials of the faith, could we possibly come up with a biblical perspective where, here's mine, there is but one eternal God, Yahweh or Yahweh, and his beloved Son, Christ Jesus, the creator of all things and my holy Savior and Lord. By his Spirit's moving, I'm talking about the triunity of the Godhead. By his Spirit's moving, I proclaim, all praise be to your glorious name. So we're not stepping on the toes of Islam. By attacking their position, we're proclaiming the truth. So it's a positive aspect. We're bearing our testimony, and we're maintaining the essentials of the faith. That's one example of what are we giving thought to as we prepare for tough, dark days ahead?
Wow. Oh, and, you know, I don't ever try to beat anybody up with the Word of God. You know, it's, you know, in years past, it was beat them over the head with the Bible, you know, go out and preach this and just keep yelling at them until they get it. Well, we all know people learn differently. We all know that Jesus Christ met people where they were, and he spoke to them where they could understand. And so I have to believe that the Word of God speaks to me today because he loves me that much.
Boy, does.
He loves each and every one of us that much. That the Bible, to me, is not full of mysteries. And I hear that from people. Oh, it's so full of mysteries. And no, it's not. It's pretty point blank what life is and how to deal with it. And I'm so thankful that I have it and I can rely on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just amazing.
And in light of that, we put out many different passages. So this website that you went to in preparation for our time together, it not only includes cultural aspects of these biblical themes unfolding before our very eyes. The first part of that website is the listing of biblical passages
yes.
that address these very things. So the foundation is in place, and then how now shall we then live? Here's what's happening in our culture. Are we discerning? So we have a huge appeal to biblical truths, John 14 through 16, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, many passages that deal with these end time issues, but we're trying to get people, we're trying to direct them in the capital T truth way. Go
yes.
back to the Word. Don't go back to a prophetic speaker like John Swanson. Go back to the Word. That's what matters. Truth matters.
This is true. And I have to laugh about the capital T because when we did our papers, we had to put a capital T by the real truth and a little T by those that, yeah, you know. And I found those on my papers when I was reviewing them. I thought, oh, my goodness. So it still pays today.
Our Western American Christian culture has a very hard time discerning the difference between God's actual stated word and interpretations of the word.
Yes.
So we put some emphasis through our PowerPoint presentations, our presentations, etc., on this very topic. Well, is this actually what the Word of God teaches, or is this an interpretation of the Word of God? So we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as one perfect example. And then we compare the different interpretations as to what this passage says. Okay, so which end time position is actually affirming the explicit biblical data as opposed to adding interpretations upon interpretations? Pretty important.
Pretty important.
It is, very much so.
Are you saying the end time position of Endurance Ministries, as you're defining it and as it's defined on your many websites, is actually the way in which the days of the end will unfold? Do you have warrant to be dogmatic to the degree of coming across as one actually claiming to bring the thus say the Lord message?
Again, this is a tension on our websites, and you'll see it there, where we don't want to water down Scripture.
No.
We want to maintain that this is the Word of God. It's true. God is always faithful to His Word. So let's listen to it. Let's heed it. But we also need to confess that interpretations was when we draw all things together to put a final trumpet rapture gathering position together. There have been some interpretive steps. We confess that, but we don't want to get away from what does the Word of the Lord say? So there's that tension. There's that balance.
Absolutely.
If we go to extremes on both ends, we water down Scripture to where it says anything. Truth, Scripture is relative. We don't want to go there. But if we go into the capital T dogma, like the preterist, dogmatic preterism, dogmatic pre-tribulationalism, dogmatic pan-tribulationalism are dangerous.
Yes.
And they're popular, but they're dangerous positions. Why? Because they all belittle what counsel our Lord has given concerning preparedness, watchfulness. This day shall not overtake you. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5. Well, what is that all about? Well, read it in its context. That's why we do say that this is one of the fastest growing end time positions. Because as I talk to people who discern the weaknesses of presently accepted end time positions, they see these weaknesses. They have a hard time saying, well, you're saying that the rapture under attack is all attacks of other than the pre-trib rapture. That's a book, by the way. A book that's been written, The Rapture Under Attack, the pre-wrath position, the post-tribulational position, who all believe in a rapture, are attacking the rapture. Well, let's properly define our book. It's the pre-trib rapture under attack, and some of these are just asking questions. Is it biblically endorsed? Let's consider that, and then let's move into a more biblical posture as far as living out the themes that God says are very important today, because they fall into falling away.
Oh, yes.
They fall into deception so bad that, if possible, even the elect will be deceived. Whoa, Jesus is emphasizing the greatness, the severity of the deception that falls upon the end time people. Be ready, be warning, be in the Word.
Yes. Do you offer materials along the line of the theme of the protective shepherding?
We do, and you'll find them on many of our websites. The book actually lists about 70% of our websites, but we also have some important handouts that we give to people who show interest. So it's not exhausted in the websites in the book. We have some excellent materials that we send over the email, for example, as attachments that we encourage people to get to as we, you know, further develop this appeal.
You know, I also know about your ministry on the campus,
mm-hmm.
and you have shared through the years, through your letters to your supporters, about different students that you've come in contact with and what you're seeing out there. So could you tell us a little bit about that ministry in our closing moments?
Okay. And let me tie it into the theme of endurance, if I may.
Good.
In light of what we're observing around the globe, including here in the United States, there's a growing Islamic appeal that actually bears the spirit of Antichrist. So in trying to bridge current cultural affairs with ministry on our campuses, this year I met an Iranian who was committed to Islam. He's come out of Islam. He's come to Christ. So on our campus this Friday, he is going to be presenting to the Coeur d'Alene area the issue of his testimony out of Islam to Jesus Christ, and he almost lost his life.
Oh my.
So the persecution is tied there. The issue of sound doctrine is there as far as the doctrine of God. And by the way, Scripture talks about that in the end times they will throw away truth and embrace myths. One of the great myths on our college campuses is that all the religious paths basically say the same thing.
Yes.
Absolutely not. We know better than that.
We know better than
it's
that.
It's a fulfillment of biblical prophecy concerning the days of the end. Well, Michael Paul is going to be bringing that testimony in a very Christ-like, caring way, not a polemic against Islam. I've been pretty strong here. Michael's testimony is, I still love these people and they still need to come to Christ. So it's a beautiful presentation. We're anticipating about 1,000 to be present for that.
Oh,
and
my word.
This is a North Idaho College student that's actually helping us with this event. He's the one bringing the testimony. So that's how these current cultural affairs definitely play into the college setting, because it's everywhere. And the college campus setting often is the cutting edge of what's coming to our general culture. So
oh,
I'm
yes.
privileged to be in a setting where I'm getting this stuff, and I'm going, whoa, church, wake up!
Yep. Well, I'm really amazed with your calling on your life and all the people you come in contact. And John, as always, it's a delight to sit under your tutelage. You've given all of our listening audience and myself a lot to digest and seek the Lord on. And I know that John's heart is for everyone to come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, but most of all, to keep God's word inerrant, speaking the truth to the multitudes.
In love.
And it's hard. You have to be courageous to do that. And you can become the weeping prophet like Jeremiah, but you have to be obedient to what the Lord has called you to do. And if you wish to contact Dr. Swanson, you can do so by emailing him at John Swanson, and that's J-O-N Swanson at MSN.com, or emfielddirector@gmail.com. There are also a couple websites, www.endmin.org, that's endmin.org, and www.truthfoundations.com. And if you're interested in his book, The Rapture Gathering has a website. It's called www.therapturegathering.com, and there are videos available there also that go along with this topic. Well, you know, I hope that you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus and the love of God the Father. As always, in his service, this is Reverend Leslie, and a special thanks to my guest, Dr. John Swanson.